From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues this series in Paul's Epistle to the Colossians. This book sets forth the glorious person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ in a manner designed to increase the believer's love for the Savior and to provide guidance in living the Christian life. Prior to the message by Dr. Cairns, we'll have a devotional thought from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon, as well as some Christ-honoring sacred music. Our text for today comes from 1 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 22. There fell down many slain, because the war was of God. Warrior fighting under the banner of the Lord Jesus, observe this verse with holy joy. For as it was in the days of old, so is it now. If the war be of God, the victory is sure. The sons of Reuben and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh could barely muster 45,000 fighting men, and yet in their war with the Hagarites they slew men 100,000, for they cried to God in the battle, and he was entreated of them, because they put their trust in him. The Lord saveth not by many nor by few. It is ours to go forth in Jehovah's name, if we be but a handful of men, for the Lord of hosts is with us for our captain. They did not neglect buckler and sword and bow, neither did they place their trust in these weapons. We must use all fitting means, but our confidence must rest in the Lord alone, for he is the sword and the shield of his people. The great reason of their extraordinary success lay in the fact that the war was of God. Beloved, in fighting with sin without and within, with error doctrinal or practical, with spiritual wickedness in high places or low places, with the devils and the devil's allies, you are waging Jehovah's war, and unless he himself can be worsted, you need not fear defeat. Quail not before superior numbers, shrink not from difficulties or impossibilities, flinch not at wounds or death. Smite with the two-edged sword of the Spirit, and the slain shall lie in heaps. The battle is the Lord's, and he will deliver his enemies into our hands. With steadfast foot, strong hand, dauntless heart, and flaming zeal, rush to the conflict, and the hosts of evil shall fly like chaff before the gale. Stand up for Jesus. The strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him that overcometh a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally.
Soldiers. stand by Joshua, dare to do or die.
Are you looking for guidance and help in your study of the Bible? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures, and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study.
Thank you.
Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series in Paul's Epistle to the Colossians, bringing the next portion of a message called Wonderful Redemption. The text, chapter 1, verse 14, says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Redemption involves a recovery of something by purchase. In this case, it is the souls of sinners whom Christ has redeemed by his sacrifice on the cross. The elements of redemption include freedom from sin's bondage, complete forgiveness of sin, the fullness of Christ, and the guarantee of a future with him in heaven. In this second part of a two-part message, Dr. Cairns has emphasized that our salvation is a present possession. If we are in Christ, we are saved now, and we know it. Then this redemption brings us into the privileged position of union with Christ, a subject which has many glorious ramifications for the people of God. And now with today's message, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
You remember the great promise of Jeremiah 29 and 11. "I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end," our authorized version says. To give you an end and an expectation, it may be translated. Or, more popularly, to give you an assured future. "I have this," says Paul. "You have this. We know where we are going." Now, this is a present assurance brought to us by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God on the basis of the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to listen to that again, because what I'm saying cuts right across the dumb, forgive the bluntness, but I am sick listening to this sort of rubbish from so-called Bible believers. This cuts right across the dumbness of the doctrine that is taught in so many churches and by so many preachers. How do you know you're saved? Well, I was sincere when I prayed. I hope you were. How do you know you were saved? Well, I made a decision and then I wasn't so sure, and so I just made it sure by making another decision. Well, how do you know the second decision was any better than the first one? Maybe you're just in that position tonight. Like a little dog running in ever-decreasing circles after your own tail, constantly worrying, did I make the right decision? Did I pray the right prayer? Did I feel deeply enough? Did I weep enough? I trust, and I would say that there's only one way to come to Christ, and that is with all the sincerity and all the integrity and all the honesty of which any human being is capable. But that's not the basis of your assurance. Assurance is ministered by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God on the basis of what Christ has done. That's it. You know, until we get to that basis, I'm depending on the blood. It's not the strength of my faith, it's the strength of that which I am trusting in. It's not the strength of my action in believing. It's the glorious merit and power of the one in whom I am believing. That's what assures me. It's not that my decision is so perfect that it cannot fail. It is that Christ is so perfect that he cannot fail. That's the basis of assurance. This opens up a very deep vein of controversy that I will only suggest, and I will tell you right away that I believe what our Confession of Faith states on this, not because the Confession states it, but because I believe it accurately reflects the full testimony of Scripture. This matter of assurance of faith was so new to the Reformers that men like Luther and Calvin tended to make the assurance of faith to be of the very essence of faith. In other words, if you are saved at all, you will have full assurance. After all, they came into full assurance. They came out of the darkness of Rome, where there was no such thing as being sure of salvation. To this day, this is the official dogma of the anti-Christian system of Rome. It is their official dogma. You cannot have assurance of salvation. Even the Pope. Well, from my point of view, I would say especially the Pope. But from their point of view, even the Pope cannot have assurance of salvation. So coming out of that humanly impenetrable darkness, the Reformers came into the joy of assurance. This is of the very essence of faith. Of course, that became a stumbling block to people who had to battle with doubts and fears, because not all could see as clearly the great truths involved in the objective application of the work of Christ, or should I say the application of the objective work of Christ to the soul. Our Confession of Faith makes it clear that while a person may have genuine saving faith and yet lack assurance, or have bouts of lack of assurance, yet the normal experience of a redeemed soul is to know it. Assurance is something that God sets before us to be laid hold of by faith in Christ. And as the faith of the believer lays hold of Christ, the more he's taken up with the Savior, the more certain he will be. The more he's taken up with himself, the more doubtful he will be. The more Christ fills our heart, the more his absolute merit grips our soul, the more we'll be able to rejoice in this present personal possession. We have redemption. This redemption brings us into a privileged position. You'll notice it says, in whom, that is, in the Son of His love, we have redemption. Now, let me set this forth as a simple proposition that redemption is experienced and enjoyed in union with Christ. In union with Christ. Now, that word union is another one that is so vast in its importance. It lies very close to this redemption, and again, therefore, it lies at the heart of the gospel. Union with Christ. If you take the epistle to the Ephesians and the epistle to the Colossians, twin epistles, you will discover that in Christ is the key phrase of those epistles. In Christ, in Christ, in Christ. Paul is drumming this into the hearts and minds of the believers. What it is to be a Christian, what it is to be redeemed, is to be in Christ. Now, what does that mean? We're not talking about Christ in you. That's a great truth. Paul will deal with that later. If my memory is right, in verse 27 of this very chapter, Colossians chapter 1, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's wonderful that Christ abides within the believer. But this is saying you are in Christ. That's union. Now, what is it? Well, I'm going to give you a definition, and I hope that the Lord will seal it to your heart. As I sat in my study and thought of this, thought of what Louis Berkhof, the great American or Dutch-American theologian, said about union, and thought about it and played around with it a little bit, I felt that this is as simple and as far-reaching a definition of union as we will have at this time. Union with Christ is that oneness that exists between the Savior and believers, by virtue of which he is the source and the sustenance of spiritual life in them, and they are the recipients of all his saving merit and power. It's that last part that I think that most of the definitions of union leave out. It is this oneness of Christ and his people, whereby he is the source of their spiritual life. He is the sustenance of their spiritual life. And they receive from him all, underline that, everything of his saving merit and his saving power. Now, this is the union that exists between a Christian and Christ. It's in Christ that we have redemption, because of the union we have with Christ's person. Now, union with Christ is a vast, vast subject, and I am going to sketch it if I were to preach on it. And I get criticized about this. I had a fellow on, he may even be watching now over in Northern Ireland. If I were Mike Barrett, I'd do this and just look into the camera and salute him. Well, he may even be doing that right now. But he picked up on something people here pick at me about, all very picky people, all the time, and say that you say you don't have time to deal with this, but you mention it. Why don't you just go on and deal with it and come back to it again next week if you don't get finished? Well, we'll not get into a justification of me and my methods, unjustifiable in many ways, but this is something you could do a long series of messages on, union with Christ. Theologians call it a federal union. The word federal comes from a Latin noun that simply means covenant or compact. So when we talk about a federal union, it's saying we are one with Christ in the bonds of an everlasting covenant. Now I put it like that, and you are taken right away beyond time into eternity. You're taken to the secret councils now made plain by divine revelation of God the Holy Trinity, when God the Father selected his Son and appointed his Son. I don't say selected him to be his Son, mind you. Selected him who is eternally his Son, and appointed him to be the covenant head of a redeemed people. In that same compact of redemption, God the Father chose a people out of the fallen mass of Adam's progeny, and he gave them unto Christ, so that from thenceforth, in the dealings of God in redemption, there would virtually be one man, the man Christ Jesus, and all the others thought of as in him. Virtually, therefore, in redemption, in salvation, God is dealing with one man. God only ever chose one man because of who he is, because of his own intrinsic merit, and that is the man Christ Jesus. God only ever justified one man because of his own perfect personal obedience to the law of God, and that is the man Christ Jesus. God only ever accepted one man because he deserved such acceptance, and that's the man Christ Jesus. But we are in Christ, chosen in Christ, accepted in Christ, redeemed in Christ. This is the union. In that covenant of grace, Christ stood for all his people. In that covenant of grace, he took all their liability. He took all their guilt. He took all their condemnation. He took everything that would forever shut them away from God, and he dealt with it in his own body and put it all away by the virtue of his own atoning sacrifice. The Lord Jesus Christ and his people are one in the covenant of redemption.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.